then translate, because that language is forgotten. Finally, when it got translated, it read like this: as you have found this note, it means that one of the locking stones in the ark has slipped, and you are unsure of how to replace it. And then he described the necessary process required to do so. And he said that then in the next rest of the masjid, they would always find messages. Sinan's advice was taken. Today, almost 500 years on, the Sulaymaniya Masjid still stands as a tribute to the great mind and legacy of this brown son of Anatolia. This was Sinan. What a thing. And how late it is also. Now there are two parts to go through. Inshallah, by half past nine, I'll try and wrap it up. Then came the time of the fall of the Khilafat. How it shall be all mentioned. Mustafa Kamal was brought there, like how all these puppets are brought. They had already brought him. It was 100-year effort before that. This was the Khilafat, so a lot of effort was made. But now when everything was ready, Mustafa Kamal went to England. It was a group called the Young Turks. They were Jewish, all of them. They were called the Young Turks. Then they were sent back into Turkey. They would never have any chance of ever getting into the Khilafat. But at that time, then the world wars broke out. And then the imperial forces of America and Britain were attacking every Muslim land. So the people of Turkey were also scared, will we be able to protect Turkey? So the Khalifa, he was already weak. So this man, Mustafa Kemal, that's why they call him Atatürk. Atatürk means the father of the Turks. He saved Turkey. It was all a lie. So he went out for a small battle, like how when ISIS came to power, they went out for a small battle and they won. And then everyone gets shocked that, hey, if a Muslim wins, it means like, he's a good Muslim. It doesn't always mean that. If a Muslim wins in battle, one of two meanings. Because remember, Rasulullah ﷺ also lost that battle. Winning in battle is not a sign that you're on haq. Winning in battle could be, one is because you won. One is because the enemy wanted you to win. Mustafa Kemal never won. Britain had given a command, wherever this man fights, lose. So he won the first battle. The news went in the whole Turkey that a young boy leading that army, Mustafa, he managed to beat Britain. And then he went for the second battle and he won. Third battle he won. He suddenly became in charge of the army. When you rule the army, you rule the whole world. The whole. So a time came that the Khalifa was told, you look after Islamic matters. I will look after running the state. And then the time came where he had the Khalifa locked up on fraud. And the Khalifa then would pass away in prison. And Mustafa Kemal would be so beloved to the people that they were one short of calling him God now. Whatever he said, he only had a couple of threats. The threats were from the ulama. So he had slowly the ulama assassinated. I will go very fast what he did in the 10 years. And you understand, in 10 years he raped the entire Turkey. Because this was shaitan. All his hope was on this man that because of you, Islam will never come alive here. The first thing he did is abandoning the Arabic script. How we write Urdu, Alif Ba Ta Ta. And Arabic is also Alif Ba Ta Ta. The Ottoman language was also written with Alif Ba Ta Ta. So anyone who knew Ottoman language automatically knew Quran, Arabic script. He changed that to what is called the Latin script. Latin script is like what we have, your A, B, C, D. So he brought that. Abandoning the Islamic calendar. He said, from today we will never say Muharram Safar. It will only be January, February, March. He hated the word Islam. Number three, he passed an edict, a command, that public dress has to be in accordance to Western standards. And if anyone is found wearing a garb of the religious elders, he will be executed. So the kurta was taken out. He took out the kurta, it was very easy because people said, no problem, I still wear clothing. Now he needed to take out the trouser. But to take out a trouser from a girl who never showed her legs to the world, he wanted to show her whole body. So that's very hard, you tell a woman, show your legs. So he closed the madaris. At that time the masajid had reached 70,000. 70,000 masajid imams were removed. In today's time, the BBC makes a big story about it. Sir Erdogan is removing so many thousand. So many thousand who showed that they were ready to kill the people of Turkey. But BBC says so many 70,000 masajid. Every imam was removed. And he had his own man put in to talk the talk of Mustafa Kamal. So from the pulpit, a new Islam was being taught. What is called modern, atheistic, Western. He gave the edict that the Azan will be called out in the Turkish language, not in Arabic. He even started with Salah in the Turkish language. It lasted for a couple of days and the Imam found it very hard. Because how do you carry on in your Turkish language? So then he gave that up. But the Azan wasn't called in Arabic. He banned the learning of the Quran. Which one person said at a time to learn Quran in Turkey. They kept it alive where the Ustad would tell the students, my life is at stake if I teach you. So I'm going to travel by train. When I get in the train, I will go in this cabin. You meet me in the cabin and you read your sabak to me. And that was his lesson. The next day I'll travel by train. You meet me in the cabin, you give me your sabak. In those places, Quran was taught. But Allah Pak kept. The other day they had a march in the streets of Turkey of Tahfizul Quran. Meaning how many boys memorized Quran? Because it was banned. I think there was 50,000 or something, I'm not sure. 50,000 boys walking in the streets to show we are all Hafiz of Quran. So you can't beat this kitab. This is the beginning. He banned the learning of Quran. But now to get out the trouser, he closed the madaris. And he said every young girl and boy must go to school. Like how we all go to school. But in school, uniform is necessary. And in the uniform, special emphasis, a girl cannot cover her hair, her neck, and she must wear the skirt. Now because that girl is a 6-year-old, 5-year-old girl, the mummy says, so what, she's so small. But that girl who doesn't put on a trouser when she's small, will always find it's too hot when she gets big. So suddenly Turkey became naked. And when Mustafa Kemal died, and this is how we'll end it, because when I entered there, I just said, Mustafa, what you did to this land? That when he died, I'm sure at that time, Shaitan, Dajjal must have come to congratulate him before the angels started punishing him. So to tell him, well done. You changed the whole world. There's no more Islam left. So when I reached there, I was feeling it. There was, they used to say Allah, like how we say it. And I learned one lesson from there. The word Allah. He passed a verdict, it is not allowed to say Allah in this land. You must say the word Tanri. Tanri means God of the blue sky. So you might say, what difference? But then why he had to pass the law? He never wanted Allah to be said. When I read that, immediately I thought about me and you. We say God. God is not a translation of the word Allah. And it's not a translation of any of the sifat of Allah. You got Rahman, you got Rahim, you got Malikul Quddus, Salam. Translate any of them, no problem. You can call him the benefactor, you can call him the most merciful, you can call him the creator. Allah can be called by any of his names. But God does not feature in any. But for some reason we all say God. So when I read that, I said, Shaitan doesn't want Allah, he replaced it with God. So when I came back, I said, let's look what the meaning of God. And no one knows until today what God means. No one knows. So the man who made that work could have had good intentions. He could have had very bad intentions also. That he could be referring to someone besides Allah. So that word Allah, for him to pass a ruling, say Tanri, not God. And then until that day it was called Islambul. Islambul means the city of Islam. He changed the name to Istanbul. Istanbul also got no meaning. Just he couldn't stand the word Islam. Islambul. So then finally in this last, now I reached Turkey now finally. As I landed there, the first place you're going to go to Turkey is what is called the Sultan Ahmed Masjid. And in the Sultan Ahmed Masjid, I'll give you my experience and you can understand the rest of the story after that. So when I came back, I wrote a little bit. And I wrote it because I knew I'll forget it after 1 year. Lucky I wrote it because today I'm thinking what to speak. I couldn't remember. So at least I had something written. On the first day of our visit to Istanbul, we were directed to the world famous Masjid of Sultan Ahmed. One was Sultan Muhammad Fatih. Later on, the Sultan Ahmad came. And he was a very pious man. You can understand when you read what's written about him, how he hated pictures. It's the unique thing for today's time. That in that time, he hated pictures of living things. So they got it written there. That the Sultan could not stand to see pictures of living things. The Westerners, they call it the Blue Mosque. And why we thought it's blue, but there's nothing blue about the masjid. It's just that when the sun shines on the pane, then inside the masjid you get a bluish-like effect. So they call it Blue Mosque. It's called Sultan Ahmad. So when I reached there, one feeling was going through my mind. So I wrote this, in order to subdue the spiritual light that permeates from the masajid, because masjid gives out nur. So Mustafa Kamal, among the filthy things he did, one thing he did is every masjid has to become a museum. He made every masjid, 70,000 masajid of Turkey, he converted everyone to a museum. So you say museum, so what? But a museum meant that in this masjid, and we saw it, and when I knew I was going to see it, I was burning with anger and hurt. But when I saw how it's happening, I said, Allah is stronger than everything else. What he did is a museum. So in the museum, who's going to come see your museum? The filthy European woman. In their filthy, naked bodies. A woman who is going through her dirty phase. She's not allowed to come into the masjid. Here that European who is continuously filthy. With her legs exposed, her hands exposed, her neck exposed, her hair exposed. She's going to now walk in the masjid as though this is a park. She's going to sit in the masjid. She's going to stretch her legs out. He wanted the masajid to be desecrated to the worst of extent. So he invited the prostitutes of Europe to come and sit in this place. So it's free. Other places you pay. There it's free. So you see the buses and the buses all lined up. So when I looked at that, I said, what? This is shaitan at its height. And it really hurt me. It was thus with a deep feeling of sorrow and hurt that we proceeded towards the masjid, surrounded on all sides by tourists rushing to gain entrance. From afar our eyes fell on the sad sight of non-Muslim men and women, gaily striding into the masjid, taking selfies. And there I was introduced to selfies. Everyone, selfie, selfie. I mean the masjid, take a selfie. This was my first perception of the scene from far. However, as we proceeded ahead and glanced at the situation from close quarters, a different picture came to the fore. One that brought a smile to the lips, a unique thrill and awe of the fantastic workings of Almighty Allah. So what did I see? So to make it short, when I entered the masjid, I found they had a small room. At the room, they got certain things written there in English and in other languages. The crux of it is those in unsuitable attire, and they got it nicely, so no one feels shy, no one feels bad. Those in unsuitable attire are required to don additional pieces of garments provided at the entrance. So they already warned you. So that woman wants to see. And because it's free, when you get something for free, you do whatever the person says. So that auntie now, we Muslims, so they're wearing kurta and niqab, so they tell you, carry on, carry on. But that auntie, they just tell her nicely that, will you put on this? So they give her a scarf. I never bother about it, and normally you don't even look. So she started putting on that thing. But what made me look was, when shoes must be removed, non-Muslims must confine themselves to a designated area at the back. So the new government not letting them come in the masjid. One part of the masjid, but they kept it for the back. Only where the women are performing salah. They don't let them come in. And the permission for salah, entry will only happen after salah. So a couple of things. But what caught my eye is they gave that girl, and they give all the girls. That European girl now was given suddenly a burqa. What fascinated me was the sight of non-Muslim woman happily donning the Islamic modest attire in order to receive permission to enter. So I never wrote this there, but what happened is, the one girl behind me, she must have put it on. So she said either to her boyfriend, husband or her friend, that how do I look? So that person said, gorgeous. So I wasn't going to look at a gorgeous girl. But what made me turn around was, he called her gorgeous when she was looking like a Muslim woman. So she said, take a snap of me, I want to send it home. And I got a shock. that who would have ever thought this girl who never put clothing on would one day happily put on burqa and say, take a snap, how well I look. Because in the West, all they know is the parda makes you look ugly. So she took a snap. So then immediately one thought went to my mind. And I said that when the magicians came to Nabi Musa alayhi salam to combat him, then Mufassirin wrote, because we all know the incident that they threw their sticks, Musa alayhi salam threw his, he became a bigger serpent. It ate all their small sticks, they all fell in sajda. Firaun said, I will kill the lot of you all. They said, thousands and thousands of magicians. They all in one tone, they answered to him, you can only rule in this world. We are believing in the one who rules the heavens and the earth. He said, I'll cut your hand and leg, and he did it. They hung. They died there. Ulama right, but in that 1 second, they reached such a level of iman, which is beyond the mind. So in explaining what took them to that high level, so some wrote the respect they had for Musa alayhi salam. When the time came to throw, they asked him that, do you want to throw first or must we throw? So one was respect for the Nabi of Allah. And the other is that they came, so before that they planned, we'll dress like him. We'll dress like him, perhaps they did it to mock him, but for whatever reason, Mufassirin write that when Almighty Allah saw them looking like his beloved, he made them like his beloved. So I just looked at that woman, and I said, how many people in Europe are accepting Islam? She's putting on the garb here, who knows when she goes home, she's showing whole family, you know how I felt in that few minutes. So suddenly I was shocked. And at that moment as I walked, I said something softly. I said, Mustafa, the very plan that you did to make sure the woman of Istanbul and Turkey removed their trousers, you put up schools. So I said, you took out the trousers of the woman of this land. In your very plans, Almighty Allah put the trousers on the European woman. Because you invited them, yeah? You took out the trousers of the Muslim woman. In your own place where you said, oh, European woman, come. Almighty Allah put trousers on them. So then I walked in Sultan Ahmed. As I walked, then we were now in the courtyard, whatever they have. So I saw all the non-Muslims standing. So a couple of things. In the beautiful courtyard of the masjid, I found scores of tourists lining up at the walls, attempting to understand the beautiful frames that had been hung across. Here too I was gripped by the awe of divine power, because I witnessed non-Muslims with the aid of Islamic frames happily educating themselves regarding true Islam. What I saw, the first was a frame which was called the tree of mankind. So they only know in their world that we are born from a monkey. But the tree of mankind starts with Adam alayhi salam. So they got Adam written there. Adam. Whoever put that there, you can see the unique mind of the Muslims of Istanbul today. So he put that Adam tree. And as the tree is going down, he's bringing the different Anbiya that came. And he's highlighting the Bani Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam. And he got there, the Israelites. And then from there he shows Yusuf alayhi salam. And the Christian world knows this. And then he brings it to Mary, Maryam. And he brings Jesus, Christ. So that man now is showing, that man who was next to me, I saw it and it thrilled me. Because his small son, he's explaining as he's taking a picture, because selfie is everything. So he's taking a picture there also of that. And he's telling his son, you see, Adam. And from Adam came this one. But where the branch came out is when you come to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham, the father of the messengers. Then it branches out. And you get Ishaq alayhi salam, who starts the Bani Israel. And you get Ismail alayhi salam, and it comes to Muhammad, the final messenger. So when I heard that man following it for his son, and he said, and you see, it comes here and it branches, and he was, whatever, Ishaq, or Ishaq, whatever it was. And then he said that he couldn't hide it. And he said, and the other son was him. And he said, from him came Jesus, and from him came Muhammad. And where you ever would think a Christian man would say it, that from the father of the messengers, Muhammad came. Because they don't know that Muhammad. So I was thrilled, like first time they introduced that we're from the same family, me and you. And as they went to the next frame was the Kaaba. and to see those Christians taking pictures of a picture of the Kaaba. But what was written on top there? The first house built for the worship of the Almighty by the father of the messengers, Abraham. He never said Muhammad's house. So the father just told the son, Abraham. Suddenly the son is looking and saying, where is this? But if Abraham built it, how come I never saw it? And they see thousands or whatever millions making sajda in front of the Kaaba on the picture. We saw it real. So we weren't thrilled. But when you see a non-Muslim looking at it, never in his life he saw people make sajda, maybe only in the rave. He saw them down. But in worship, millions not moving. So they took the picture. And then there were other frames which gave a lot of messages. One frame was the final sermon of the messenger Muhammad, treat your woman with respect. And the man is reading that. And then there was one day that the messenger told as the army was going out, you are not allowed to kill old women. You are not allowed to kill people in the churches. You are not allowed to cut fruit bearing trees. You are not allowed to hurt the young. As I read that, I said, I'm sure this is the answer to the ISIS world. You are not allowed this, you are not allowed. Now that man is taking a picture. The messenger of Allah said. And finally, in our last 2 minutes, we entered the masjid. Now I'm looking at these Europeans when they entered. So the Muslim men are in the front. Turkey was banned from Quran. Allah Ta'ala revived it in that masjid. I don't know about the other masajid, but I'm sure it's starting. After every salah, they read one ruku. So we normally, after salah, we might read our sunnah, and that's also fast, and we out. They sit. We think we look like an alim. They don't look like an alim. So when salah finished, my son said something. He spoke. Or adhan was going. When adhan was going, my son spoke. Because we speak adhan, then. Speak softer, but we speak. The Turkish man next to me gave such a look that as though you have done the biggest haram in the world. You talk when adhan is going, just look. So I immediately told my son that these people have a lot of respect for adhan. Keep quiet. After salah, they don't move. Everyone remains sitting. We want to go now because we've got a lot of places to see. Everyone is sitting. Now the muezzin will read his one ruku. When I worked it out, I said, in a day, they are finishing quarter par. That place which never saw Quran is finishing so many khatams and everyone is sitting. Because the people can't read Quran at the moment. They got that azmat, they just wait, the Quran is being read. As the Quran is being read, you got the Europeans who are in the back of the masjid, because now they are allowed to enter. As they enter, the first thing they hear is Quran, and they see everyone just sitting. So then you see that European also just standing and listening to Quran. Hey, you thought he'd ever listen to Quran. So I saw them listening to Quran. And then I saw them taking pictures when because the woman is salah at the back. So as you see that sister going into sajda, you just see them snapping one way. That perhaps in their life they never saw that sign of a woman in modesty also falling down in sajda. And as in sajda, that man and woman are just looking and taking pictures. And I said that this is a da'wah which perhaps we never thought we'll ever manage to give. Allah Ta'ala told Mustafa Kamal, you call them, so I'll use you to give them Islam. And Islam is spreading in the European world, how? And that was before this happened. Now you can understand, finally when I came back, then I made a little bit of research into what's happening in Turkey, how things are changing. So I read one article, a couple of articles. But the one that really made me happy was when the one person, he was writing to the Turkish military. Because the government before Erdogan, they tried to bring Islam alive. And then the president, he resigned. Because the Turkish military sent him a message. They said to him that, we want to remind you that this land will never forget the legacy of Mustafa Kemal. So if you dare try to tread a little out of his way, we will remove your entire cabinet. So that president had to resign. And then came this next movement, what we're calling now the Erdogan movement for the last couple of years. But they had to play such a fine line because the military was always... So when I was there, this man wrote to the military, meaning he's writing. He's saying, wake up. Because this Erdogan is such a snake. He's writing, he goes, oh, hypocrite. He said, do you not see how he's changed your entire education system? So although he's not saying Islam, But within the next 10 years, he's going to bring an entire Muslim look in this land. And he gave one example. And that was the unique thing I saw of this Erdogan. He never invited towards Islam. He never invited to the Khulafa-i Rashidin. All he did is he invited the people of Turkey to the Ottoman Empire. He said, these are your grandfathers. He never took Mustafa Kemal out, although we know he was the biggest of shaitan. But he never said Mustafa Kemal evil. All he said, he was your grandfather, that's your great-grandfather. So everywhere they say, come to the legacy of the Ottoman leaders. The Ottoman leaders had the burqa for the woman. They had the kurta for the men. They had the imama. So he invited. So in the schools he made a law that every child when they reach matric, they must learn the script of the Ottoman masters. He said, that's our language. If we don't know our language, who we are? So that man is writing, he said, the snake is not teaching you the language of the Ottoman. He's teaching you the script of Quran. And he said, oh military, if you don't wake up in 10 years' time, the entire land of Turkey will know how to read Quran. He gave that message. That's why the scoop happened. They understood that things are changing. So in the beginning I started with 100 years. Allah Tabarakullah said, 100 years you'll see a revolution. At the moment I think from the time Mustafa Kemal died, is hitting about 80 to 85 years. So I'm thinking in the next 15 years, then we will wake up again and say, where did this come? And the world will forget once upon a time it was zero flat. Islam will be alive. So that's how the world is changing. This whole thing was done that time, but because of now what's happening. So a lot of people say, but in BBC we don't see this. So don't ever listen to BBC regarding Turkey. Because BBC is burning with anger. They never thought that that coup will fail. They never thought it will happen. So now whenever they say, they'll always try to show he's bad, he's evil, he's harming the people. So don't listen. BBC never spoke the truth in their lives, they'll never speak the truth. But there, you know, those people who are ready to put their lives in front of the army tank, there must be something they have love for that president that you're going to put your life there. And we make dua that Allah Tabarakallah looks after this land. This is the hope of a beginning of an Islamic revolution. And if they unite, and Allah make them unite, He's uniting with the Arabs, He's uniting with Pakistan. Now that old Hanafi, Salafi story is dying out. A lot of unity is coming into the Ummah. So we make dua it happens. And if Allah unites the Ummah, then again that Khilafat will be re-established. Allah Tabarakallah make it that we see it also, it makes us thrill. But before that time, take a trip if you can, visit this land. Enjoy the sight that you will see there. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم رحيم اللهم كريم اللهم forgiving اللهم kind الله. والله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. The Almighty Allah has declared that how my servant thinks of me, I will deal with him like that. O Allah, today we sit with a positive mind. O Allah, we sit with the hands raised in front of a unique creator. O Allah, we are positive, we are hopeful. O Allah, we understand that a revolution is taking place. O Allah, we have hope that now Islam is not going to fall, but day by day Islam is going to rise. O Allah, if the hadith has promised that you treat your slaves how they think about you. O Allah, we look at you in the most positive of men, in the most positive of light. O Allah, Islam went through its decline. O Allah, let our eyes be blessed that we will see the uruj of Islam. We will see the unique son of Islam rise. O Allah, bless one of us, that myself, the people who are listening, those that have ta'alluq, those that are friends, those that are relatives. O Allah, our children. O Allah, our progeny. O Allah, they become the next flag bearers for the garden of Islam. O Allah, in the next garden, they become the roses of Islam. O Allah, they become the scholars for the next generation of Islam. O Allah, they become the flag bearers of Islam. O Allah, let every one of us, O Allah, let every house of ours become a house of tajdeed. O Allah, let the revolution of Islam take place at our hands. O Allah, let us see those unique days where the word La ilaha illallah will be recited in every parliament, in every house, where Quran will be recited,
where drugs will come to an end, raves will come to an end, filth and dirt will be brought to an end. Every person who walks will walk with an imama. Every girl will have a burqa. Every face will be covered. Oh Allah, it will be an environment of iffat, an environment of purity, an environment of modesty, honesty, trustworthy. Oh Allah, it will be an environment. When the word Allahu Akbar will be said, then thousands and thousands, millions and millions will fall into such. Oh Allah, bring that day alive. Oh Allah, in our own life, bring that day alive. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ما شاء الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون